This is about a project that finished maybe a year ago, and it really had its origins many years back. And I think I was just in the last session. And this is probably a theme that recurs, that goes through a lot of meetings, particularly public health dental meetings, is the fact that the current oral health care system isn't really working very well for people with special needs and a lot of other underserved populations. So these were a couple of issues of the California Dental Association journal that we had published the proceedings of a conference a few years ago, and this was the consensus statement from that conference. And there was just one diagram in the consensus statement to put up here, which is basically our current oral health care system is the last couple boxes on the bottom there. We have dental care is primarily delivered in this country in dental chairs, which we find dental chairs in dental offices and safety nets clinics and some in hospitals. And it's clear if we're going to be able to reach underserved populations and special needs populations in particular, we're going to have to figure out a way to deliver dental services in places where people live and work and play and go to school and are integrated with other kinds of general health and social service delivery systems. And of course, you all know that there's lots of things that can be done in those settings that don't have to be done in a dental chair. I'm always intrigued about the question of how are we going to get more dentists to see people with Medi-Cal, or how are we going to get more dentists to see these populations? And I think that we ought to give up on that question. And the question ought to be, how do we change the system so we can get more oral health care to these populations? So we had an opportunity to try and do something about that. And this was the Department of Developmental Services, their website for a program they have, which is called Early Start. And the Early Start program is a program that provides intensive resources, screening and resources for children who are at risk of having a developmental disability at the age of past the age of three. This is for 0 to 3 year olds. If someone enters into the Department of Developmental Services system in California, they become a consumer of that system for life, eligible for services for life. And so basically the state can save a lot of money if they give intensive services to children during the first 3 years and keep them from entering the system, because they're then doing okay. So they have a pretty extensive system. And those of you with exceptionally good eyesight can read this this list here. This is a list of all the kind of things that they try to pay attention to, and you might notice that there's oral health is not on the list of all the kind of things that they're doing in terms of screening and intervention. So we worked with this system, with the Early Start system, and the idea was, this was a two-year project. We got our funding from the First Five Commission in California, and we worked with 8 different sites. We had previous relationships with these regional center sites in 8 communities around the state, because we had developed a dental coordinator case management model. And this project was to try and integrate oral health risk assessment into the activities of the nurses and social workers who were acting as case managers or service coordinators for these 0 to 3 year old children and their families. So we provided training to these social workers, mostly social workers, but one regional center had almost entirely nurses acting in that role. Training involved training about early childhood caries and risk assessment and prevention practices and medical model prevention activities. And these are just slides, some slides we stole from the First Five Commission's presentation about early childhood caries. This is just to give you a flavor of the kind of training that we did for them, and of course talk to them about the caries balance idea. We also developed ourselves an assessment tool, which was a risk assessment tool. We had a lot of focus groups with the social workers and nurses to try and understand what kind of assessment process they would be willing to do, what kind they weren't. We ended up agreeing with them that they would not ask them to actually do an oral examination. So we were going to do this risk assessment by means of a questionnaire and asking questions about behavioral issues with the parents and understanding of diet and other kinds of things. So there was an assessment tool and a companion brochure that they could use to give information. And there was also a counseling guide for the case managers as well. This is the risk assessment form. You'll notice that there's different sections in different colors, which I'll get back to in a second. But you can see some of the questions that we asked here about, do you have any concerns about your child's oral health? Have you noticed white or brown spots? What time of day are you using sipper cups or bottles or breastfeeding to try and get a sense of, are they putting the kid to sleep with cariogenic material in the bottle? Questions about their brushing habits, maybe sugar-containing medications they might be taking, what they're doing in terms of oral hygiene practices, do they have a dentist, are they having dental visits? So those are the kind of questions that we asked about their habits, and in addition, some questions about whether they had had goals about oral health in the IFSP, the Family Service Plan, And we tracked whether the social workers in doing this assessment ended up putting people into three different categories. One is that they could determine that this child was actually, or the family actually had enough information, the child was doing okay and didn't need the services of a dentist right now. Or they could decide that this child, there's issues here that I, as a social worker or a nurse, am not capable of dealing with. I need to get them to a dental professional. And we had a dental coordinator who was a dental hygienist or a dental assistant working for the regional center that they could then refer them to, who could then help them get to see a dentist if it was necessary. So, again, the color coding on the risk assessment form went along with the brochure, so that if there was an area that was identified by them as the family needing some more specific information, instead of handing them a brochure and saying, here, read this thing, because we know people, if there's too much to read, they're not going to read anything, they would actually go, it's a little hard to see on the slide, but they would actually check boxes there. They could check a box and say this, or circle that area and say, this is the thing that applies to you, be sure and pay attention to this, so the parents could take it home and act as a reminder. And you could see there was sections about recognizing dental disease and diet control and lifting the lip and recognizing white spot lesions and other sorts of things, all parts of that brochure. This was the counseling guide, so it was a two-page sort of companion piece that was just for the social worker or the nurse to help them when they had identified an issue based on the risk assessment form, to help them in knowing what to say, remind them what was talked about in the training. So in this 2-year process, they had these social workers and nurses conducted 2,500 oral health assessments. We were about 40 of these service coordinators were participating. So the interesting thing for us was that they found that there was about 800 of these children who needed some kind of follow-up from the dental coordinator, and only about 400 of them actually needed to see a dentist, which means that what was able to happen here was by having these nurses and social worker do the first level triage, if you will, we were able to concentrate the scarce resources of this dental coordinator and the even scarcest resource of the dentist on the people who really needed to have that resource. So in a sense, what we ended up was demonstrating that we could have these nurses and social workers acting as the first level triage for a system that we had limited resources. We couldn't really treat everybody, but if you could focus the treatment resources on the people who really needed it. And I thought actually some of the more interesting parts of it took place in focus groups when we talked to them about it afterwards. And initially we had a lot of resistance from these service coordinators. Things like, we've got so many things on our plate anyway, we just can't do one more thing. These are families where their child has had some significant medical diagnosis. The parents are freaked out about that. They don't really, how are they going to deal with another issue? And through our training and trying to help them understand that, look, you have a child who's now been diagnosed with having some kind of developmental problem. Wouldn't it be great if, in addition to having to deal with that problem, which is probably not going to get fixed, they can actually keep the child from having dental disease? Because the last thing they want to have is this child who's got all these other problems to also have a bunch of dental problems on top of that. And once they got that idea and began to see that parents were actually receptive to the idea as well, they felt actually pretty good about doing this. And at the end, during these focus groups, many of them were saying to us, it was really ridiculous that we weren't doing this all along. We're doing this general health assessment. Why weren't we including oral health? We're glad we had this, have these tools now. And they could see they were making a difference with an intervention that was really, for most of them, very short. It took 2 to 3 minutes. They were able to integrate it into the assessments they were already making, and the counseling also just took another 4 to 5 minutes, depending on the person, and they had backup resources. I got the 5-minute warning, but I'm actually done. So I have a couple minutes to answer questions. And these are a couple of websites where there's some additional information about this project, our dental school website and the Special Care Dentistry Association. So, happy to answer any questions. Yes, sir. Oscar?
You developed a network of dentists before you started the program?
We did that in a different project where we had a previous program where we had, with these same 8 regional centers, we had integrated this person, this dental coordinator, who was actually a hygienist or assistant who was working as an employee of the regional center system. Their job was to be the liaison between the regional center social service system and the dental professionals in the community. And so they were the ones that went around and knocked on doors and got dentists to figure out what kind of referrals the dentists are willing to accept and make targeted referrals so the dentist, number one, didn't get overwhelmed, make sure the referrals were successful. So that was all in place prior to doing this project.
Do you offer any type of incentives to the dentist to participate?
No, we didn't actually offer any incentives to dentists, except we didn't offer any incentives that you might consider monetary incentives. The incentive we offered to the dentist was, I'll tell you quickly what I call the tale of two referrals, which is previous to that project, we would have somebody who would call up a dental office and say, you know, I have this 29-year-old mentally retarded man who, can you see him? And the dentist would, to make it short, the person would show up. The dentist would find that they didn't have he didn't know who's going to deal with consent. They didn't have all the health history information they needed. The dentist found that he actually couldn't manage the patient anyway, and everybody would be frustrated, and the dentist wouldn't want to accept any more referrals. Under this system, when we made a referral, first of all, there was a screening done ahead of time. The dental coordinator knew the dentist, knew their capabilities, so they made a match that was likely to be successful. They would show up with the consent all taken care of. They'd show up with the medical history information that they needed. So that was the incentive for dentists. If you see this person, we're going to make it. We're going to do the things we can do to make this a successful referral and experience for you. Certainly. Well, in this case, because of the many of the dental coordinators in the regional centers are already HAPs, and so the 800 people that were referred to them for more intervention than the social workers could do, they would take over and do more preventive activities, sometimes even applying fluoride varnish, and then there was only half of those that actually needed to go to a dentist. So it was really the three levels of care.
Howard. It sounds like a sustainable program.
We had, in most of the regional centers, we had did this project with a subset of the what are called early start coordinators. Some of them have 10, 20 people who are involved in this. We have four or five. And in now six out of the eight regional centers, they've actually taken this and expanded it. So all of their early start coordinators are now doing this project, and they've actually integrated it into the routine. So it's just now part of what they do in those particular regional centers. So in those places, we know it actually is sustainable because it's been integrated into the system. They're seeing them typically every 6 months.
And how often are you
recommending they do it every time they see them, or at least some follow-up on it every time. Now, some of these children were seen when they were 2.5 years old for the first time, so they didn't have any follow-up, because by the time they got to be three, they exit out of the program. They either become okay, so they don't need services, or they go into the regional center system. But some of them were seen early on and had more chance for follow-up. I think I'm probably out of time, so thank you very much.